I am glad that I am not like that Pharisee. Judgmental, arrogant, hypocritical. Though I could probably name a few people who are just like him. As we crane our necks to identify the Pharisee near us, at church, in our neighborhood, at work, we participate in an exercise of missing the point of today's parable completely. Every one of us is the Pharisee. And though we feel relieved that we don't, hopefully, that we don't cheat on our taxes, don't steal other people's identities online, don't hold up banks, in some way, every one of us is the tax collector. But before we can truly connect with this story, we have to pull it away from some of the cultural litter that has surrounded it. If you've spent enough time in church, you've learned to see Pharisees as those perennially pious hypocrites, the bad guy of most stories. But to the original hearers of today's story, the Pharisees were seen as the best characters. They followed the law of Moses. They tried to live a life devoted to God. They went to church every Sunday, did their daily prayers. Theologian Jürgen Moltmann has said that it would be best to simply call the Pharisee the good man. Likewise, the tax collector, who we've been trained to see as a sympathetic figure with a bum rap, was actually a man whose whole business was corruption. Complicit with the Roman Empire and skimming money off the top of as he went along, he might better be called the bad man, the Bernie Madoff of his day. The people listening to Jesus's story would have heard this story as the good guy versus the bad guy, like we'd imagine in an old Western or any movie, take your pick, where they pit good against evil. The good guy, he prays, he tithes, he fasts twice a week, he goes to church. What could be wrong with that? Why would he not be justified? The bad man, he stands far off. His eyes avoid contact with God. Then he beats his chest like the morning crowds would do later in Luke after Jesus had been crucified. He doesn't ask for anything but mercy. Why should he be justified? Why wouldn't it be enough for him to be given mercy? Given another chance to live a good life, to try again. But today's story holds a striking reversal. The worst character walks away with the best scenario, justification, the biblical word for being right in the eyes of God. While the good guy walks away with nothing. How is this fair? After all, we live in a world where you reap what you sow. You get out what you put in. And hard work and virtuous living lead to the good life. Is this story just some divine version of the nice guy finishes last? Well, if you're here this morning, you're in church rather than Starbucks. You're hearing the word of God rather than the word of the New York Times. You try to put your fair share into the collection plate, unlike those who never give a dime away. And last time you checked, you weren't on America's Most Wanted list. And sometimes you may get frustrated with those prayers of confession that list out vague sins that you don't really think you've been up to lately, After all, church isn't supposed to make us feel badly about ourselves, is it? No. But it is in this moment when each of us comes to term with the Pharisee living inside us. We all define ourselves by what we are not to God. Not an addict, not a spouse abuser, not a crooked CEO. Sometimes our conversations with God sound more like our political ads we're hearing so often, highlighting what we are not rather than what we truly are. Thank God I'm not a drinker, but I pray for my uncle who is. Thank God I'm not nearly the gossip she is. Today's story is all about being who we truly are with God. It's about realizing how broken and bent we truly are, so that we can acknowledge how much we are truly in need of God. It's only then that we can quit relying on ourselves, quit wearing the mask that causes us to live a divided life, a life divided between our true selves and the selves who we show to the world. Quit using our works and our money to buy us satisfaction. And finally, rely on God to accept us, to love us as we are. That's when we embrace the tax collector within us. That part of us that is hidden in the shadows, far off from our family and friends who expect us to be fine all the time. That part of us that has been broken by relationships, broken by temptations, broken by self-loathing, broken by our past, broken by our fear of the future, broken by the choices we made and the choices we did not make. The shadow side of our soul finally steps into the light and hears Jesus say, "You have been justified. You are made right with God. Not for what you are not, but for what you are." What Jesus wants is ourselves, the whole of our lives. The worst part of our lives finally aired out, no longer weighing us down with perfectionism, but thrown off at the foot of the cross. Jesus is seeking tax collectors who dwell within every person, ready to be made whole again by his amazing grace, ready to receive his radical love that gives us what we do not deserve in the radical commonwealth of Christ's love, where the last shall be first, where the sick shall be healed, the blind shall see, the poor shall be rich, and you and I will be called children of God, invited, urged to grab hold of the generous life Christ holds out to you. Amen.